Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of TF Metals Report. Now, Craig, look, we'll talk precious metals because gold making another move as we're recording this on Thursday. Gold is right up to that $1,900 level, having another good day. And a lot of the headlines are also attributing this good day again to a bit more of a ramp up in the war fears between Russia and Ukraine. And we're even seeing the gold stocks move higher. Silver's moving higher. Gold is outperforming both of those and also drastically outperforming the broad markets. What do you think is critical to understand about this recent leg higher that a lot of people are attributing to these war fears is driving gold?
Yeah, you know, we came out of those lows after the FOMC 3 weeks ago. And we've been moving pretty steadily higher since the shares have particularly been, with the GDX got to 29, I think, 3 weeks ago today, and now it's 34. So there's something going on there. I think there's a realization setting in that the Fed can hike the Fed funds rate all they want, but they're never going to get to a point where the Fed funds rate exceeds the inflation rate before they'll have to shut it down. The market beginning to price in that policy error and even rate cuts by 2023. So there's, you know, all the stuff that last year held us back, the idea that inflation was transitory and that negative real rates are transitory and all that kind of stuff. I think that's starting to, you know, all finally set in that it's not. But again, you mentioned geopolitics. What were we, 1840 or so Friday afternoon at the COMEX close? And then all the stuff really reared up. Friday afternoon, we rallied about $20 on the late afternoon Globex, and it's been up ever since. So a big part of this move, half of it at least now, is geopolitics. Anybody that's been trading gold for any amount of time knows that or has learned that moves based on geopolitics rarely hold. You know, and you might get a spike for a day or two, but then, you know, cooler heads prevail and things go back down. And so I would, you know, again, we've got to hope and pray that that's what this is too. Nobody wants gold to go up on the back of war and destruction and death and all that stuff. But it does not seem to be easing. This Ukraine issue is something I followed very closely on my site for the past 8 years, guys. It was 8 years ago this month that the Maidan protests, revolution, if you will, took place. And the start of a new Cold War really began with Russia and U.S. NATO. And I spent, geez, I don't know, 6 or 7 years posting a weekly podcast to my site where a guy by the name of John Batchelor interviewed on his radio program the renowned Russian history expert, Professor Stephen F. Cohen. Man, I learned a lot about that situation over there. And this has been a concern, like I said, for 8 years. I'll give you one last thing, guys. In wrapping this up, I shared with my site a couple of days ago. Putin, as you all know, is former KGB, and Garry Kasparov once said, there are no coincidences when working with the KGB, and he would probably know. There have been a lot of things in Putin's regime, his reign, that have symbolically fallen on anniversaries, where, I'll give you one. There was a guy named Boris Nemtsov, who was a vocal Putin critic. People may recall he got shot, just like mowed down on a bridge across from Red Square in February of 2015. It was a big story back then. People listening to us may barely remember this. Anyway, the guy that they always figured took charge of mowing that guy down and eliminating was a guy by the name of Gerimaev. Gerimaev actually was never convicted. In fact, he was given by Putin the Russian Order of Merit on February 27th, 2020. Exactly 5 years to the day since Nemtsov was killed. There are a lot of things like that while Putin has been the head of Russia. Just things that just happen coincidentally to happen on somebody's birthday or something like that. Okay, well, anyway, my point of all this is we are approaching February 21st, which is Ukraine's observed anniversary and commemoration of that Maidan protest, where I guess you'd call him pro-Russian leader, Prime Minister Viktor Yanukovych, was eventually forced out and then fled the country. That happened on the 22nd, but Ukraine celebrates it on the 21st. So I don't know where this is all headed. I don't know if this is going to flare up and there is going to be an invasion, but I'd say the 21st would probably be a day you want to keep your eye on, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Well, Greg, there's no doubt that everybody is tuned into the geopolitical theater going on here. And when you look at the price of gold, it did get a boost this week from it. And it did sell off on Tuesday when there was a little concern that maybe things were easing. However, like you started off with, the backdrop of this is still the Fed is getting ready to hike rates for the first time in years, starting next month. They're getting done with their tapering right now, where they're pulling back all of their bond purchasing. And so that's obviously having effect on who's going to buy these bonds, and the rates are starting to rise at the same time that they want to dial back their balance sheet and let some of that liquidity fall off the backside as they expire. So all of those things are still there under the surface. It'll be interesting to see if this cools off of the geopolitical, how much of a bid in gold is really there because of the macro fundamental financial reasons. How much of this move up do you think is still tied to that?
Yeah, you know, again, it was what, 1840 Friday afternoon before things really got hot and heavy. So I'd say so far, what's that, 50 or 60 bucks is kind of cooked in. Maybe not all, maybe not the entire 50 or 60 bucks is geopolitics. So we'll see. You know, again, pray and hope that there is no invasion and war and, you know, and the unknown unknowns that will come from that. I would, you know, to your point, though, Shad, I'll go back. Do you remember, guys, you remember talking back in January about the Chinese credit impulse?
Yeah, I remember you outlining that and just how important that has been for gold as a driving factor.
Yeah, and commodities in general. And that was a part of my annual report this year, was that, you know, this is going to be driving all commodities higher. Well, the latest, it gets updated month by month. It's now 3 months in a row that that has turned up and is moving back higher. The Chinese are easing because, you know, they've done a lot of lockdowns to try to control COVID. And, you know, they're kind of moving out of all that stuff too. And so the Chinese are easing, where we and maybe the ECB are trying to tighten that credit impulse, which is a sign of monetary easing moving higher. That has been consistent with higher commodity prices while that's been moving higher. It's probably going to be moving higher through the balance of this year. And then you look across the board, what did crude oil get to, 95 a couple of days ago? I don't know if you've seen things like soybeans are $16 a bushel. And again, all the base metals. And so there's a number of factors that I think would, I guess, kind of equate to a rising tide in the precious metals. And again, not to be outdone, it's interesting to watch the mining shares. You know, they really got a big bump out of those Barrick earnings yesterday. And a lot of the majors are really cooking today. Newmont has seen its 50-day moving average move up, bullishly crossed up through its 200-day. I noticed Agnico Eagle yesterday. Now that the whole Kirkland Lake thing is behind it, has yet to turn higher. So I actually bought some calls on that this morning, and now Agnico Eagle's up $3 today. So I feel pretty good about that. There might be some institutional interest finally beginning to percolate back into the mining shares if we can get price to rise faster than the input cost. And maybe their margins can expand again. So there's a number of positive factors other than just this geopolitics stuff, which we never really want in our corner anyway.
Couldn't agree more, Craig, that geopolitics can be very short-lived moves. But one other thing to mention here is you're right. Some of the majors are starting to get a buy. It is still on generally lower volume. So that is still one aspect, but have you noticed an inflow of interest either on your side or even the people that you're talking to that aren't all in on precious metals towards the precious metals a bit more on the back of this recent bounce, really just in the last about 2 weeks, let's say?
No, I haven't. And I think that should be music to everybody's ears, right? I spent a lot of time on Twitter too, because for some reason I've got like 45,000 followers. And so I spent a lot of time there, and I try to only follow 30 people so that my stream doesn't get cluttered. But you know, you can manage the information overload. And man, I still don't see really any turn of sentiment. But we've talked about this before. You know, that's one of, if not the greatest benefit, if you got to search for a benefit, of going sideways for 18 months, because the consolidation has gone on for so long that the breakout levels are, I mean, obvious to everybody. It's not like, you know, well, I think it's a breakout is here. No, I draw a trend line there. No, I mean, anybody can look at the chart and go, hey, if we can hold above 1880, that's a higher high versus where we got to in November. And now if we can get above 1920, not only is that the old all-time high from 2011, but that's where we got to back in late May. And anybody can, you know, we start picking those off, everybody's going to see it. And then that starts to kind of bring a virtuous cycle of rising sentiment and rising prices. But we're not there yet. And so I guess to some regards, that's a good thing.
Yeah, Craig, as soon as we start breaking some of those levels, and many people would point to the $1,900 level being key on a monthly chart and even on the weekly chart. So just closing above that would be a solid thing, even if we can pull that off this week for a weekly close. One other question I've got before we wrap up here, though, and that is, have you noticed that we are starting to see strength in the precious metal sector almost across the board in gold, silver, and the miners versus the general stock markets? We're seeing some strength versus the Dow and versus the S&P 500. So we are starting to finally see that outperformance. Do you think that'll get more generalist investors tuning in to the precious metal sector?
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to what we were just talking about too, Shad. You can pull up a chart of the GDX. And again, I recognize a lot of generalist investors and money managers aren't sitting there doing, you know, basic technical analysis. But, you know, that weekly chart of the GDX or even a monthly chart of the GDX, you can see a huge cup and handle formation. And the move up and then the handle kind of looks like a bull flag, and anybody can draw it and see where the breakout is. And it's up, you know, I don't know, 34, 35, which is where we're getting to. And I think, again, that's just another thing that'll get people's attention. But the main thing, and I remember maybe we might have talked about this last week, you know, there's a reason why the shares kind of stunk on ice for the last 6 months, because inflation was soaring, but the base product that they were selling was going sideways or even lower. So their margins are getting squeezed. If we're going into a spot where inflation is going to remain high, but maybe not as high as it's been, but yet price starts to rally, those margins will be widening again and the cash flow is going to get spit off, you know, and you're going to get another round of increasing dividends. You're going to get more news like Barrick put out there about $1 billion buyback program. That should lend to a continuation of these prices bouncing back. Now, whether that blends over to the juniors and the explorers, I mean, that's kind of more a function on price too. But geez, isn't it nice just to be talking about something going up? I mean, it's been a while since we've been able to have this kind of conversation. So we'll see. Again, let's watch next week. If we can get through the 21st and maybe even the 22nd, because the 22nd of February 2014 was when that Yanukovych actually fled the country. We can get through those dates, then maybe the geopolitics stuff, we can start to kind of push that more back to the back burner. We can get back talking about all this normal macro stuff.
Hey, Craig, you are right. It is nice to talk about the precious metals prices going higher. It does come with that nuance of there are these war fears out there. But you know what? Soon enough, I think we'll all be back talking about the Fed, and we'll all be back talking a bit more about the markets and the movements that we're seeing outside of just these war fears. But right now, let's see just how much higher gold can go, because as much as a lot of people are saying right now we have a breakout, boy oh boy, there are a lot of resistance levels still for gold to take out on the upside, and a lot more even for the stocks. Craig, thank you as always for your time, buddy. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.